In keeping with our worship theme today, we offer an extravagant word of grace and peace in the name and spirit of Jesus the Christ as we gather for worship on this fifth Sunday of Lent 2025. For those who gather online, I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and our music team, which includes the Mayflower Chancel Choir under the direction of our Minister of Music, Barb Fuller. Our accompanists today are Deanne McCormick and Dave Priestap, who was introduced to our congregation last week. And our liturgists today are Amy Jones and Pastor Rachel Garris. Our meticulously prepared bulletin includes our mission statement, worship protocol, which includes the fact that we do not pass offering plates, as your presence in this service is a gift to us and a gift to God. If you have come with a financial offering today, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. We always observe a moment in worship when we offer to God all that we are and all that we have. Thank you for your caring and sharing. Today we invite all of you to the Friendship Center following worship, where we enjoy snacks and beverages, followed by the final presentation of our Lenten series led by Pastor Rachel Garris. Please remember our special Holy Week observance on Monday, Thursday, which is April 17th. A week from this Thursday, the service will begin here in the sanctuary, a very special service prepared by our music team and others at 6 o'clock, followed by a simple meal of bread and soup in the Friendship Center, where we can relax and enjoy some continuing fellowship. Today, as you can see, is Communion Sunday here at Mayflower, and we celebrate open communion where everyone is invited to the table. Our worship theme is Impeccable Timing, taken from an intimate setting and narrative in the gospel when Jesus visits the home of three close friends. Let us now be in the spirit of worship.
Thank you. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What a beautiful song. Thank you, Dave. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
April is here, which means to open, likely reflecting the symbolic opening of buds and flowers as they begin to bloom. While we are still in the reflective season of Lent, the service has been prepared to help all of us open our minds and our hearts to the Spirit of God, just like the blooming flowers of spring. Today we encounter a narrative which raises interesting questions about extravagant expressions of love and devotion. Mary, a friend of Jesus, took advantage of a special moment just prior to the death of Jesus, a moment which could never be repeated. Her timing was impeccable, her devotion was incredible, and her love was amazing. Perhaps a few moments today in worship or fellowship could reflect that same spirit as we sing, pray, listen, and reflect. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we enter this service of worship in anticipation of special moments. We ask that your blessing would rest upon those who share music, liturgy, and offer words of perspective and hope from your scriptures. Give us special moments of inspiration as we express our love and devotion to you. Just like Mary expressed at the feet of Jesus, unite our hearts together in all our worship, including the special moments we share together around the table of our Lord. continuing in the fellowship we share around tables in the Friendship Center. Give us the assurance that in all our moments and in all our days, your presence will be with us no matter what. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
When it comes to giving, we can bemoan a leak on the roof, a pothole in the driveway, and a roof-mounted heat unit above that of the office that failed this week. Or we can rejoice, knowing that God has always promised to help us and be with us no matter what. And we can always thank God for our blessings, especially as we look back, knowing that that is true. In a spirit of thanksgiving, we now offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves as we give to God in this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious Lord, we thank you for the spirit of joy that permeates every gathering of the beloved community. We pray for the continuing joyful presence of Christ, even as we pray for those who are in desperate need, for the victims of the deadly earthquakes in Myanmar, for those who have suffered through catastrophic flooding still ongoing in areas not so far south from here, and for those who are without power and isolated after the disastrous ice storm in the northern part of our state. We offer prayers for first responders, hospital workers, fire and rescue personnel, and with all those who have extended incredible acts of neighborliness to anyone and any place that has been needed with the beautiful giving of sacrificially of resources. In all of that, may we never lose hope in the goodness of the human spirit created in your image. Give us compassion and courage as we pray, give and support to the fullest extent of our abilities. May that same spirit pervade our hearts and minds as we remember those close to our hearts this morning by the mention of first names we lift now to you. And for Testa, let us now join our hearts together as we pray the prayer that you have taught like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Is it possible to be too extravagant in expressions of love and devotion? That is what we will explore today. Hear now these words. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into him. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Thanks be to God.
Bow with me in prayer. Lord, thank you for the extravagant love that you have given to us, represented so beautifully by the cross in front of our sanctuary. Now, Lord, give us the spirit of extravagance as we think about our love back to you and to others, while we also think about the ones that you always cared for, the poor. Amen. You heard Rachel say it at the very last verse. Words of Jesus that have been questioned over the centuries. You always have the poor with you. These words of Jesus have been taken and used to justify a dismissive attitude toward the poor. Make no mistake, you cannot separate Jesus from the poor, in spite of what many of our politicians are trying to do these days. If you follow politics privately, as I do, using Jesus as a foil, these words of Jesus are callously misrepresented and misinterpreted. The U.S. Senate just this week in a proposed bill laid the groundwork for cutting key safety net programs to help pay for more than $5 trillion in tax cuts and disproportionately benefit the rich. You can read about that on your smartphones or hear it on your television sets. But I will tell you, folks, I just don't get it. Many of these senators are people who often remind us that our country was built on Christian values. These are not Christian values. In my poring over the text, I found a Greek scholar that clarified what might be enlightening, giving this often misinterpreted statement of Jesus. He finds a word in the Greek which could be in either the indicative or imperative mood. Does anybody remember English class? I had a good one in my senior year in high school. Never forget her. And somehow she let us call her Susie. But she was Susie Smith, and she taught a lot about this. And I had to refresh it in my memory. But in the imperative, rather than indicative, it might read something like this. And that Greek word could be interpreted either way. But here it is. Have the poor with you always, or keep the poor among you always. This translation better represents the Jesus that I know. Jesus always brought good news to the poor in tangible ways. He began his ministry by announcing his God-given mission to bring good news to the poor. He fed the poor, restored the health of many who were poor, and challenged oppressive political and social systems that preyed upon the poor. Jesus was executed as a rival of Caesar and an enemy of the Roman Empire. The empire promised peace and prosperity through systems that divide the distribution of wealth, pads the pockets of the elite, and leaves a larger segment of the population impoverished. History has an amazing way of repeating itself. We in the United States are living in a time of unprecedented poverty in the midst of unprecedented plenty, with 46.5 million people living in poverty, including one in five children. 1% of the population now owns 43% of the nation's wealth, and the top 5% own 72% of the wealth. An additional 97.3 million are officially designated as low income. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish we didn't have to face these statistics. And sometimes I hear people saying I get tired of these things. They are depressing, disheartening, and disturbing. And if not, they should be. The statistics have changed dramatically since 1970, when the gap between rich and poor in our country was dramatically less. I feel a pastoral responsibility to remind us all how much work we still have to do. And yes, we must do the work. One often overlooked nugget in today's narrative is that a common purse was held among Jesus' ragtag group of disciples who saved money to help the poor. Notice, if you will, the parenthetical statement accusing Judas of thievery, inserted by the writer who had the advantage of looking back upon history. I personally do not believe Judas stole much of that money, as Judas is generally thought to be a traitor more than a thief. In another sermon, in another time and place, I will explore the nuances of the Judas story, but not today. Today's question is how and why Mary's extravagantly wasteful act was affirmed by our Lord. So let's begin with some context. In the time and place of this narrative, it was taboo for a man to be touched by any woman save a man's wife. Women's loose hair was perceived as being sensual by men in Galilean culture and is still true in some segments of present-day society. Mary's approach to Jesus could have been interpreted as a sexually provocative gesture. And certainly what happened between Jesus and Mary was skin to skin. The narrative does not include any of her words, but what Jesus saw in Mary was her yearning, her worship, her gratitude, and her love expressed wholly through her body. Jesus, rather than shunning her rather intimate gesture, receives Mary's gift into his own body with gratitude, tenderness, pleasure, and blessing. Contrast this with a culture that treats bodies with ambivalence and scorn. In the case of women, especially in a male-dominated culture, bodies are something to shrink, starve, conquer, or tame. Women are taught to recognize flaws in their bodies rather than to celebrate God-ordained dignity and beauty. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not advocating, nor would I ever, or excuse any physical gesture or suggestive posture which is unwanted or unwelcome by either sex. I am not encouraging provocative interaction between the unmarried. But what this text teaches us is that there are special moments of fully appropriate intimacy between those within the beloved community whose love and care for one another can be expressed with body, soul, and spirit in an atmosphere of self-control and trust. How sad it is when extravagant expressions of love are spurned among those who claim to be religious. Jesus always has a place for anyone, man or woman, who yearn for love and acceptance, even when the religiously orthodox or even the disciples are dismayed. Jesus busted every norm, including some of our own. At the heart of this narrative was a moment of impeccable timing. Mary's exquisite and timely moment did not correspond to a ticking clock. Neither was it a planned event orchestrated ahead of time. Rather, it was a pivotal, transforming moment in time, and I somehow believe those moments are too far and between for most of us. It was a moment of grace, a moment of gratitude, and a moment of incredible inspiration. In the previous chapter 11 of John, Mary's brother Lazarus had been resuscitated by Jesus after his apparent death, and Mary was grateful that her brother, once thought to be dead, is now alive and hosting a dinner party. And what could have been mistaken for a sensual gesture from a devalued woman, Jesus recognized it for exactly what it was. An intimate, entirely appropriate expression of devoted love and gratitude at exactly the right moment. It is entirely possible that this moment of impeccable timing inspired Jesus to carry it forward as we read in the next chapter, where he washed the feet of his disciples in a similar and intimate gesture of humility, love, and service. And if Mary inspired Jesus, she certainly inspires us to do the same. Jesus never asked for extravagance from Mary, nor does he expect it from us, especially when it comes to material goods. But he recognized, as should we, that extravagant expressions of love are all too rare. In our culture of time-saving efficiency, fraught with calendar alarms, overfull schedules, and multiple screens begging for our attention, we easily become a valuable commodity in our culture, missing out on opportunities where moments of God's impeccable timing pass us by. When Jesus gathered his disciples together for his last meal, in his moment of impeccable timing, he mysteriously shared elements of the meal which represented all of his earthly energies, his body and his life's blood, which was poured out in extravagant love for them and for us. And because of the inspiration the disciples received at that moment, Jesus' extravagant love is shared with us as it has been for millions through the ages. So, if you don't mind a short sermon, let us now commemorate that moment of impeccable timing as we gather at the table of our Lord. May this and every moment of worship, fellowship, and service motivate us not only toward awareness of the poor, but toward an identity with them as their fate becomes our fate. So help us, God. Let us eat. Thanks be to God. Let's begin now with our confession to God. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And we'll ask our servers to come forward at this time. Hear now these words of invitation. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith, or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. And we'll ask you to hold the elements until all are served.
On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let us eat together. Well, at least I didn't spill the cup like I did last month, as some of you remember, with a little more care and the care that Christ always gives to us. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and blessed us, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink together. Now let us share together our prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Thanks to our servers today. Thanks, Rachel. remember Christ as we have done around the table of our Lord, then we think of his extravagant love for us, which hopefully makes it much easier to share extravagant love toward one another, all the while remembering those that need our care, our love, our support, and our gifts, namely the poor. Go in peace. Amen. I can tell you, as long as I've been here at Mayflower, no one has ever come up to me and said, our services are too short or your sermon is too short. So I kind of get that, but I do remember the days, some of you will remember, when the first few weeks and months when I was here, we had another church that would come and they would have their service at noon, and sometimes we had communion before I really got the hang of things. We would be having communion well past 11:30, and we'd see a whole group of people out there with speakers and trumpets and all kinds of things that they used in worship, and it got to be a little tense, but we've moved beyond those days, and that will give us a little more time to enjoy fellowship and breaking bread together in the Friendship Center. And to listen to our final presentation, kind of sad that I think it's over. Rachel, you've done such a good job with it. We'll look forward again today. And those of you that must leave, whatever we must do, it's a beautiful day out there. I don't think it's swimming suit weather, but it certainly brightens the day when we see the sun shining through the stained glass windows. May the peace of God be and go with us all. Amen.